Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Before we start tonight, I was just thinking, I was walking by the dorm, and I don't know if anyone saw the plaque on Augustine Hall. There's a little plaque there, I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's hidden behind a whole bunch of bushes, and it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And you know, as I saw that, I just thought, you know what? We need to give thanks to Him, for He is good. He's drawn us here today, and He's brought all of us here. And if we continue reading on in Psalms in that 107 where it's found, I'm just waiting for my Microsoft Word to come up here. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and south. And, you know, I think that's just a fitting word for us tonight, that we need to give thanks because He has gathered us here today. Some of us from the north, some of us from the east, some from the west, some from the south. And you know, I don't know, how many are here for the first time? Well, how many are not here for the first time? Okay. I thought we would start with a little exercise here, and I'm going to pick on some people, and hopefully you will cooperate. I'll start with people that have been here, like Teddy. Let me ask you, why are you here?
To learn about God.
Okay, to learn about God. Let's see. How about Daniel from Texas? Why are you here? Why are we here? Why are you here? Because you have no idea about your future. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask someone from... Actually, someone that hasn't been here before now. Actually, I'm going to pick on Florence from Vancouver. Florence, I know you just walked in, and... we're just asking a question here. Why are you here? Okay, I just want to hear God's word, okay? And let's see, who else? Someone from... Okay, I'll pick on my cousin. Jasmine? To get closer to God, okay. Those are all good answers, and in many respects they are right, but... One thing we need to remember, we are gathered here because He has drawn us here. He has brought us here for a purpose. We aren't here by accident. Maybe we had a feeling, yeah, we want to go to the Toronto Conference. We've heard good things about it. Maybe some of our friends are going, so we think it'll be a good time. But one thing we need to remember as we start this week, and that is that God has called us here for a purpose. Maybe some were planning to come and end up coming, and maybe some were forced to come, didn't really want to come. Could be. It's happened before. But we are called here because He has brought us here. He has called us by His purpose. I think one thing, the young people in Toronto will know this because some of us tend to repeat it over and over and over again. And it is this, that our God is a God of purpose. There is nothing that He does, nothing that He allows to happen to us that is not by His design, by His purpose. Now, I'll give you an example. And it has to do with you guys getting here today. Some of you guys flew into Buffalo, and We chartered a coach to bring you guys all up. And they told us, this bus seats 55 people. Well, guess how many people signed up to come in through Buffalo? 56. Oh, no. So what does that mean? So our dear brother John said, here I am. I will go. And, you know, funny thing, when the bus arrived there and everyone got on, they found out, how many seats did the bus have, guys? 56. Well, so John didn't have to go down after all. And to make things worse, how long did you wait at the border, John, to get across? 3.5 hours? 4 hours? 5 hours. He was in the customs line 5 hours waiting to go across. Now, when you look at something like that, do we still trust that that was God, by God's purpose? Seemingly, John probably wasted 5 hours of his time, wasted all the gas going down, and ended up picking up, I think Jeffrey stayed back there, Jeffrey Pittman from Richmond. And why? We asked, why? You know, but God has a purpose for that, believe it or not. We might not know what it is, but He has a purpose for that. And everyone here this week, your being here is by His purpose. Now, the question here is, are we going to meet that purpose that God has for us to be here? Is God going to get out of us what He is after this week? And, you know, in many ways, that is partly up to us. We have some responsibility in this. But at the same time, praise the Lord, the Lord has drawn us here and He will do it. And you know, as we start this week, I thought we could look at some people in the Bible that saw the Lord when He was here on earth. Now, you know, as we get together and as we hear Dana speak and Sonny and Jim, even as we go to our workshops, our times of fellowship, times during the devotions in the morning, even as we just chat, as we eat at mealtimes, you know, these are opportunities that we have to hear the Lord speak, to see our Lord in each other, to see our Lord manifested in His church. But we need to make sure that our eyes are working and our ears are working and our hearts are such that, in a way that such that they can understand what the Lord is saying to us and what we're seeing. You know, when the Lord was here on earth, many people saw Him. They saw the miracles that He performed. They heard Him speak, you know, different messages and parables. Some of them got it, but a lot of them didn't. They saw it, they heard it, they experienced it, but it didn't go in. There's something about that. And, you know, I just want to take a look at some different people that encountered the Lord while He was here on earth. And maybe we can draw something from their examples. The first group of people I'd like to look at is in Matthew chapter... In Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 30. And lo, two blind men sitting by the wayside, having heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. But the crowd rebuked them, that they might be silent. But they cried out the more, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. And Jesus, having stopped, called them, and said, What will ye that I should do to you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes had sight restored to them, and they followed him. Now, there's a similar account that happened to a different person, recorded in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And they come to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, that he might be silent. But he cried out so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering said to him, What wilt thou that I do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy faith has healed thee. And immediately he followed him in the way. Now, this is from Darby. In the King James, in verse 52, it actually says, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Okay, let's just remember that. So, you see, in this account of the blind men and Bartimaeus, there's a desire for them to see. They had a realization that they were blind and that they needed healing and that they needed their sight to be restored. And, you know, I'm sure they'd heard of Jesus and all the miracles he was doing. And when they heard that he was coming by, they cried out. They cried out asking for the Lord to heal them. And if you notice in both cases, you know, the crowds around him said, Oh, shh, be quiet. You know, who are you? You're just a blind guy begging by the wayside. You know, be quiet. But that didn't deter them. And they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. And the Lord heard their cry, and the Lord healed them. He restored their sight. But I believe it wasn't just their physical eyes that he restored. You know, as I was saying earlier, in the King James it says, Thy faith has made thee whole. And I believe that, aside from just the physical, when you're made whole, that encompasses your whole being. Your eyes and your ears and your heart, the spiritual, is made whole and is put in its right place. And when that happened, they followed him. So that's one group that we see. Now we see another group of people, the Pharisees. Now, you know, we've heard all the stories about the Pharisees and what they were like. And just briefly in Mark 8, And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in the spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they saw the Lord too. They saw all the miracles he performed. They heard the same words that he spoke. I'm sure some of them heard, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and, you know, various other things that the Lord spoke, parables. And yet we see that there was no response. There was no cry for healing. There's no cry for a need for the Lord. You know, they had all the answers already. They knew the law. They were the experts of the law. They took a lot of pride in that. And in all that, they missed out. They were not able to see the Lord for who He was. They were not able to see the reality of what God had purposed for the Messiah. You know, their hearts were hardened by their pride. You know, the word that was spoken could not take hold, could not get through. They could see, they could hear, but they couldn't comprehend what it was that they saw and they heard. And ultimately, they rejected it. Now there's another group of people, and this group of people were the people that were from our Lord's hometown, from Nazareth. And in Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country.'" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." So here we have another group of people that saw the Lord and heard him. In fact, these people probably knew him from the time he was a young child. They saw him grow up. They saw him mature. And, you know, but to them, he was the son of Joseph. They knew him all too well. He was a kid that grew up in their hometown. You know, but what authority did he have to say these things and claim these things? You know, where did all of a sudden he get this power to do these miracles? You know, they knew him too well. He was too familiar, too common, perhaps. And because of that, their hearts were also hardened. They couldn't get past the fact that he had grown up in their hometown. They rejected him. And he wasn't able to perform even any miracles in his hometown because of that. Now, one last person I'd like to look at is Peter. I'm not going to read through the whole account of Peter, several verses, but in John chapter 1, verse 29 to 42, we have the account of John the Baptist. And he's walking by the seaside with his disciples, and he sees the Lord walking by, and he points them out. So they followed him. Two of them followed him. And one of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he went and got Peter. And I'll just read this from verse 40. "Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard this from John and followed him. He first finds his own brother Simon and says to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which being interpreted is Christ. And he led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas.'" So, we find that Peter met the Lord this is probably the first time that he met the Lord. And, you know, he saw him and maybe spoke with him a little bit. But seemingly, it seems like he went back to doing what he was doing, you know. But we find in Luke chapter 5, another account of our Lord meeting Peter. And once again, I'm not going to read through all the verses. It'll take too long. But basically, the Lord was preaching by the seashore. And it was getting too crowded. You know, people were pushing and trying to get closer. And pretty soon, he'd be standing in the lake. But, Peter just happened to be there. By chance, of course, right? But we know that's never the case. But Peter happened to be there. And the Lord got in his boat and said, well, go out a little bit and let me do my talking. And so the Lord preached from the boat. And when he was done speaking, he asked Peter to put out into water and let his nets down. And we all know this story. I'm sure we've all heard it several times. And, you know, Peter's like, we've been fishing all night and we didn't catch anything. And, because you say so, Lord, and, you know, I'm going to just throw the nets down. You know. I know nothing's going to happen, but because you said so, okay. So he does it. And we know that there was a catch that was so big, he couldn't fit it all in his own boat, and he had to call his partners come over and help him. And it was at that time that the Lord really caught something of Peter. You know, we find in verse 8, that Simon Peter, seeing it, fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." For astonishment had laid on him and on all those who were with him at the haul of fishes which they had taken. And in like manner also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men." And from that time on, Peter followed the Lord and followed after him. And, you know, that experience and what he saw that day captured Peter's heart. And as he followed after the Lord, and the Lord, you know, and he learned more of the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself, it got to a point where, you know, Peter was caught for life. There was, you know, our brother mentioned earlier, you know, Peter is saying, you know, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." You know, at that point in time, all the disciples that, all these people that had been following after the Lord, you know, for various reasons, were leaving. You know, some were there because of all the healing and the miracles, and some were there because they were getting a free meal, you know. But it came to a point where, you know, things were getting tougher, you know, and people started leaving. But not Peter, he couldn't. Something had caught him. And, you know, even as things went along and the Lord was, you know, taken to trial, Peter still followed at a distance, but he still couldn't let go. And we know that, you know, Peter did deny the Lord in a moment of weakness. But even after that, you know, the Lord went after him. And ultimately, Peter had to follow. And, you know, and I wonder, you know, for us, you know, have we seen him that way? Have we heard him that way? Has something of the Lord caught us that way? That we should follow after him? You know, and I think in some ways we have, but yet there are still things that keep us from seeing him as he is, and hearing his words, and understanding. Perhaps there are some things of pride in our life, some things of commonness and familiarity. Whatever it may be, the Lord knows. But we need to be like those blind people, blind men, who recognize that need and cried out, persistently cried out, not just once, but even through adversity, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." We want to see. You know, and, you know, as we think about this week and what the Lord has purposed for each one of us, if our eyes are not in the right place with the right focus, if our ears have not been cleaned out and tuned to hearing His voice, if our hearts have not been freed from whatever holds our hearts, if they haven't been softened so that His words can take root, we cannot meet that purpose that the Lord has set for us. So, you know, may this be our prayer this week, that our eyes would be open, that our ears would be unstopped, and our hearts would be made to understand and set free. And you know, the amazing thing, if we just look back in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the very purpose of our Lord coming to earth is this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So this was what He was sent to do. And this is what He longs to do. But we need to have our part in it too. We can't do it. We can't fix our eyes so we can see. We can't fix our ears. And definitely there's nothing we can do with our heart. But all we can do is cry out. And praise the Lord, He hears and He answers and He acts and He will heal and He will restore our whole being, so that His purpose can be fulfilled in each one of us. So may the Lord have mercy on us this week, and may we remember that we need to cry out. You know, and it starts in our prayer times and our devotions times. And you know, He will hear. He is faithful. This is the work that He wants to do. His purpose will be fulfilled. We thank Him for that. Let's just pray. Lord, we do just thank You that You have gathered us all here for Your purpose. From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. That You have brought us all here, and that there is something that You long to accomplish in each one of us. But Lord, we do ask that You would prepare our eyes and our ears and our hearts so that we may see You as we should, so that we would hear clearly, and that our hearts would understand and be able to respond in such a way that Your purpose will be fulfilled. Lord, this is our cry tonight. And Lord, we do thank You that You are faithful and that You will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.